Well, good afternoon. It's good to see so many of you here, and thank you very much indeed to the Bedford Town Band for some beautiful music. Thank you for your singing too, which has sounded really good. What do you think of this time of year? It's a season of Christmas when we send cards and we decorate trees in our houses and we entertain family and we have fun and food and perhaps some mince pies and some mulled wine, and we sing some wonderful carols, not only in church, but also in the streets. We've been singing carols last week. Of course, for some, it can be a sad time. Some people feel they have very little to celebrate at this time of year. They may feel very lonely. They may feel that they've had many memories of past happy times, and they're sad because of their losses. What is the reason for this season? Well, Christmas starts with Christ. When I was quite young, I remember asking my parents about the last line of one of the carols that we've sung this afternoon, once in Royal David City. And the last line is, "With the poor and meek and lowly lived on earth our Saviour holy." And my question when I was about 7 or 8 is, what is a saviour? What is a saviour? Sadly, my parents were not churchgoers. They couldn't give me an answer to that question. What answer would you have been able to give me if I'd asked you? Through most of my teenage years, I was not a believer in God. I hardly ever went to church. I would have called myself an atheist. I did have some Christian friends, but I couldn't really understand their beliefs. And the reality is that I was a rebellious and a guilty sinner, and I wouldn't admit it. What I knew was that I wanted to become a doctor. I wanted to help people in need. But actually at school, I learned far more about Islam and Hinduism and Buddhism than I ever did about true Christianity. And the reason for the season is a saviour. That's what the angels said to the shepherds in one of our readings. Today, in the town of David in Bethlehem, a saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And that's when heaven came down to earth. I'd like us to just think about two verses briefly this afternoon. And the first is from the first letter of John, one of the three letters of John that are in the New Testament. And this verse, that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. Who was it who was sent? Well, obviously it is the Son, who we understand is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've been singing about him, light from light, God from God. This baby who was born in Bethlehem was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He was the all-knowing and all-powerful and all-seeing, glorious Son of God. And as we sang in another hymn, another carol, he came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. Of course, the Lord Jesus is a unique person, but he's controversial, isn't he? Some people love him, some people worship him, but others hate him, and many ignore him completely. What you can't doubt is that he has had an immense impact on this whole world. More books have been written about him than about anyone else in history. And the New Testament, which is the nearest thing we have to a biography of Jesus, has been translated into over 2,500 languages, in whole or in part. His life and his teaching have led to a huge output of plays and films and art and poetry and songs. And although he never traveled much outside Israel, he has had an influence which is literally worldwide. Many hospitals, many universities and schools have been founded in his name. No one ever spoke the way that Jesus did. When you think about some of his teaching, You can read about it in Matthew's Gospel, in the Sermon on the Mount, for example. No one ever gave such profound and wise teaching as he did. But he made remarkable claims. He said, "I am the light of the world. He is the source of truth and light to the whole world." And no one ever lived the way that he did. He actually practiced what he preached. He lived a life of mercy and love and compassion and integrity and courage. He was actually perfect, without sin. And no one did the remarkable miracles that Jesus did, healing the sick, calming the storm, feeding the 5,000. And this was God's greatest gift. The Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. And yet, as we have also read, that when he was born, when Caesar Augustus was the Roman emperor, he gave this decree that there was to be a census. All it took was a word from this emperor, and people thousands of miles away went on a journey to register. And that meant that Joseph and Mary traveled from Galilee to Bethlehem. That's where the prophecy of Micah had said that the Messiah, the Christ, would be born. And there Mary gave birth to her firstborn, a son. To us a son is born, to us a son is given, and he will be called the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. He deserved an enormous welcome, but that night the inn was crowded. There were no vacancies, no room in the inn. Who was it who sent him? Well, it was God the Father, the Creator and the ruler of the world, the God who is holy and just, the God who is love. And why did he send him? He sent him to be the Savior of the world. He's not one amongst many different gods. He is the only Savior. And whatever your nationality may be, if you call on the name of the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. And we've known many who've come to our church over the years from many different countries around the world who have found this good news about Jesus Christ to be true in our experience. We've had Christians at our church from Brunei and Hong Kong, from Malaysia and Taiwan, from India and China, from Namibia, Uganda, Germany, Italy, Australia, Croatia, as well as England. And you may remember that last year, in July 2018, there was a terrible situation when a number of children were trapped underground in Thailand. What did they need, those children? What did they desperately need? They needed rescuers, people to come to their aid and to rescue them. And the answer to that question, what is a savior, is that a savior is one who comes to rescue us and to deliver us from danger and to set people free. That's why the Lord Jesus came, to be the savior of the world. Now, some years ago, Radio 4 had a Christmas competition to see who could tell the Christmas story in 30 seconds. Well, actually, the Bible explains the Christmas story in just 3 seconds, and that's our second text. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And that is the good news. That is what Christians call the gospel truth. Who was it who came? It was the Lord Jesus Christ. And the name Jesus means God saves. God comes to the rescue. He comes to save people from their sins. What did it mean for him to come into the world to save sinners? Well, you can read all about it in the gospel accounts in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Though he was God and Lord of all, he came down to earth from heaven. Though he was rich, he became poor. He was born in poverty. He lived a perfect life with no sin. He went about healing people and doing great good. But he faced growing opposition. There were people who stood against him. And we sang in See Amid the Winter's Snow this afternoon, see the Lamb of God appears, promised from eternal years. That was one of the titles, Lamb of God, that was given to the Lord Jesus. His death, when it came, was violent and brutal. It was an execution on a Roman cross as the worst of criminals. And it was only by his becoming a man, a true human being, that he could offer his body as the sacrifice for our sins and to be raised bodily from the grave. He had to become one of us in order to save sinners. And how did he save sinners? It was by dying in our place and by rising from the dead in power. He came to save us in great compassion and in love for those who are needy and for lost, for all of us who have broken God's laws and turned away from him. We actually deserve judgment because of the wrong that we have done, whether in our thoughts or our words or our deeds. You know what people say about Christians sometimes? You Christians, you think you're better than the rest of us. Have you ever heard that as a Christian? Have you thought of it if you're not a Christian? You Christians, you think you're better than the rest of us. But actually, that's not true. The reality is that as Christians, we have recognized ourselves as sinners who desperately need a savior. And the Lord Jesus came to rescue us and to free us from our sins, from our guilt, and from our fear. He came to give us life and forgiveness. And it may seem too amazing and too wonderful, but it is true. When I was 19 years old, I was a medical student in Manchester. I was training to be a doctor. I'd got that far in fulfilling my ambitions, and I was learning about the amazing human body and about how it works. But I also started thinking about the meaning of life, about why I'm here, and about the reality of death. I was confronted with death in a very stark way as a medical student. But over a period of time, through conversations and through discussions, God showed me my need of a savior. And I heard about Jesus Christ, and I thought that he was just a good teacher. That's what so many of us think about Jesus, isn't it? But when I read in the account in John's Gospel, I saw that he is a good teacher, but he's so much more. He is a savior. He is God who has come to save us from our sins. And I realized that this was true and that I needed to be forgiven. And I called to God to forgive me. And I've trusted in Jesus since then and known peace with God through him. And I thank God for his amazing kindness and mercy to me. I've served him as a medical doctor in the NHS for nearly 40 years, as a GP in Bedford for 32 of those years. And many, many times over those years, I have needed his strength, his wisdom, his encouragement, his forgiveness, his help. And the Bible gives us truth from God. It gives us many great promises and encourages us that we can pray and ask for God's help and for forgiveness. And if you've never read one of those gospel accounts as an adult, let me urge you to do so and to pray that God will open your eyes and show you who Jesus really is. Thomas was saying to us earlier that when you receive a gift from Christmas at Christmas time, how do you respond to it? Well, obviously you unwrap it, you open it, you say thank you. And how is it that we can receive the gift of eternal life? How is it that we can be saved from our sins? We have to turn away from our sins. It's what the Bible talks about as repentance. We have to admit that we are sinners. We have to be genuinely sorry for the wrong that we have done. And we have to change the direction of our lives and turn away from sin. You know, an old song, well, it's only 1976, but it's old, isn't it? Sorry seems to be the hardest word. But repenting is not just being sorry. It is going in a new direction, wanting to turn into a way that pleases God. And we must have faith in Jesus Christ. And that means, first of all, accepting that Jesus is who the Bible says he is, the Son of the living God, the Christ, the promised Messiah, accepting that he has died for sinners, and believing that he is able and willing to save us. It means actually putting your trust in Christ and relying on him alone to make you right with God. So we need to confess that we are guilty and lost and helpless sinners. And we need to ask Jesus Christ to save us, to be the Lord of our lives, to forgive us. Some people think that they're too bad to be forgiven. But this truth about Jesus Christ is the only medicine that can change our guilty past. Many of us may feel burdened at this time. We may feel burdened by guilt, by stress, by all kinds of grief and difficulties. We may be afraid or anxious or depressed. But the promise is that if we call to God, if we call to the Lord Jesus Christ, he promises that he will be with us, he will help us, he will guide us, and he will forgive us as we cry to him in our need. Thank you for your attention this afternoon.